Hebrews chapter 11, that's found on page 1195 in our Black Pew Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, the first seven verses. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And that's as far as reading in Hebrews. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open if you can. We're going to be looking at Hebrews 11 this morning, but also turn in the back of your songbooks to Lord's Day 7. Lord's Day 7, as I said before, this is probably in the top five most important Lord's Days in the Catechism. Obviously, question answer 1, what is your only comfort in life and in death? Question answer 21, what is true faith? And then later on, we're going to be coming to the definition of justification as well, which are probably the top three most important Lord's Days. But here, Lord's Day 7, dealing with true faith. That's found on page 875 in the back of our songbooks. I'll read the question and let's respond with the answer together. Question and answer 20, are all people then saved through Christ just as they were lost through Adam? No, only those are saved who through true faith are grafted into Christ and accept all his benefits. What is true faith? True faith is not only a sure knowledge by which I hold as true all that God has revealed to us in his word. It is also a wholehearted trust which the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel that God has freely granted not only to others but to me also. Forgiveness of sins, eternal righteousness, and salvation. These gifts are purely of grace, only because of Christ's merit. And then finally, question and answer 22, what then must a Christian believe? All that is promised us in the gospel, a summary of which is taught us in the articles of our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith. So those articles are then listed in question answer 23, which are the articles of the Apostles' Creed, which we will confess this evening as a part of our worship service. That's as far as the reading of the Catechism, then. We pray for the blessing of the Lord upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, having faith, or just believe, is a part of the normal parlance, the normal way that our world speaks. Perhaps you've heard that someone is taking a blind leap of faith, which simply means someone is going to do an action that is contrary to logic, contrary to what we would say the facts would pertain, would lead us to believe. Even this call to just believe, we see it on cards, we see it on posters, just believe. There's no explanation of what we should believe, but we're told that we should believe. But what we call a true faith and what we are called to believe is a far cry from what the world would have us believe. Indeed, it does appear that true and living faith has fallen on hard times in our world. Even as Jesus Christ asked, this is in Luke 18, Jesus asked, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in this world? It appears that the faith of many has grown cold, and that many have wandered away from the faith. So as we come to Lord's Day 7, it's very important for us to understand not only what faith is, but that you also have it. Yes, it's important that you are able to define what true and living faith is, but I surely hope you go beyond understanding a definition to actually having the thing that is necessary. So this pressing truth comes upon us this morning that only those who have true faith in Jesus Christ, true faith in God's substitute, will be saved. This applies to both the Old and the New Testament. In fact, from the beginning of the world to its end, the only way, the one way in which a person can be saved is if they place their trust, their hope, their reliance in God's substitute, and the substitute appointed by the Father. And we come to know that that substitute's name is Jesus Christ. And that's where we are in the catechism. We've looked at the fact that God in his justice is willing to have another stand in your place, that you do not need to stand under the just judgment of God alone. Someone can stand in your stead, taking your place, drinking the cup of God's wrath instead of you. And the person who does that is revealed in the gospel. The gospel that was started all way back there in Genesis chapter 3. The good news of a Savior who will take our place, who will have his blood shed to clothe our nakedness, to take away our guilt and our shame. So it is possible for us to escape the punishment that we deserve. And the way in which we escape is if someone else takes our place. But today we have to ask ourselves the question, how do we benefit from the works of Jesus Christ? Or who benefits from the works of Jesus Christ? So we consider this theme this morning. Jesus Christ produces faith in our hearts by the Spirit so that we might be joined to him and his blessings. So Jesus Christ produces faith in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and in producing faith in our hearts, we are joined to Christ and we enjoy his blessings. In our first point, then, we consider the need for this faith, or the necessity of this faith. As you will remember, in the first section of the catechism, man's sin, our depravity, our need, this need for salvation is shared by all humanity. Who fell with Adam? We all fell. Every single person born in the line of Adam and Eve, sharing Adam's sin, original sin, total corruption, we are stained, we are fallen, we are polluted, and there is nothing that you and I can do to make ourselves right with God. So every human being on the face of this world, however many billion are walking around this world today, every single one, man, woman, child, all of us, rich, poor, Jew, Gentile, slave, free, we all have this shared need because we have this shared corruption. We need to be set free. We need to be liberated. But who is liberated? Is everybody who falls a shared recipient of the saving work of Jesus Christ? Now, this has been asked or answered in various ways. Question answer 20 puts it like this. Are all men saved as we all fall in Adam? Are we all saved through Jesus Christ? Those who would teach universal redemption would say yes. The works of Jesus Christ are equally applied to all people. This is very common in so-called liberal or progressive camps. They say that sin, all sin of all men have been covered by Jesus Christ. These same groups are the same ones that teach there's no difference between every religion, that all religions are the same. And Christ's blood washes everyone. But there is another group, the Arminian camp. This is the teaching that Jesus Christ, his work, makes salvation possible for all men. There is a possibility of every person being saved, but at the same time, there is no certainty that anyone will be saved. It is possible in the Arminian camp. It is possible for everyone to be saved. Jesus Christ makes salvation available, but it's not certainly and definitively applied to anyone. Well, what does the Bible say? Will every man who fell in Adam be saved by Jesus Christ? And the humbling answer is no. No, not everyone will be saved. As Jesus Christ himself said, no one comes to the Father except through me. There are not multiple paths. All roads don't lead to heaven. Some will be saved by Jesus and others will not. So who will be saved? Question answer 20 answered. Only those who are joined to Christ by faith will be saved. In order to prove this point, just simply remember what John 3:16 says. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but has eternal life. So faith in Jesus Christ is necessary if someone would avoid the destruction that they deserve. We read this in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, no one can see God, nor will anyone be pleasing to God if they do not have faith. So if you don't have faith, you can't see God, nor are you pleasing to him. And again, we read this in Romans 3:22. The righteousness of God is received through faith in Jesus by all who believe. So to state it in the negative, if you do not believe in Jesus, you will not receive the righteousness that is only available by faith. For without faith, there is no expectation except the expectation of punishment and death. So faith is needed. And the reason that faith is needed is because what faith does. Faith is the means by which we are joined to Christ and we receive his benefits. We call this the instrumentality, or the faith as an instrument. Faith is the means by which we are joined to Christ and we receive his benefits. Our catechism puts it like this: we are grafted into Jesus Christ. Now, children, you may not be familiar with what grafting is, but let's picture there's a rather large, healthy tree, and you make a slit in the side of the tree, down into the core of the tree, and you insert a branch. And you wrap that branch and you seal that branch with tar, and that enables that branch to become one with the tree, and the sap of the tree flows into that branch, and that branch becomes a part of that tree. That's what grafting is, and that's what faith does. By faith, we are joined to Christ, grafted, inserted into him, so that his life-giving blood flows in and through us, making us living branches joined to the vine. That's what it means, the instrumental use of faith. Faith is the conduit, it's the pipeline by which Christ's blessings that he secured flow to us. If there is no faith, there's no conduit, no pipeline for his blessings to be received. Faith is that open hand that takes what the Son places in it. True faith is rooted in Jesus Christ, grounded in his work. It's very important to remember that faith is never spoken of in abstract. It is faith in Jesus Christ, in him and in him alone. Ephesians 2 unfolds this. We read this earlier. We are dead in our sins and trespasses, but we are made alive together with Christ, being saved by grace through faith. It is this clinging to Christ, this joining to Christ, that moves us from one camp to the other, from death to life, the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from sin to righteousness. And where does this faith come from? If faith is so important, if faith is necessary, where do we get it? Here again is the glorious riches of God's grace. Faith is not something that you and I can stir ourselves up to do. Faith itself is a gift. Faith is produced in my heart by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. So let me ask you this question. If faith is necessary, and faith comes through hearing, as Romans 10 says, where should you be if you want to have faith? Or parents, if you want your children to be saved, where should they be? They should be in the place where God says, that's where I produce faith in the hearts of my people. That's how serious the preaching is. How important the means of grace are. If salvation is our being joined to Christ, and faith is the instrument that binds us to Him, faith comes when the gospel is proclaimed, the Spirit uses the gospel to produce faith, to plant that seed in my heart, then what's going to be on our number one top priority if we want to have faith? We're going to be here to hear the word. And we're going to pray that the Spirit uses it to produce faith within. So faith is a necessity if we are to be saved. As the heroes in Hebrews 11 teach us, each one had faith and they were commended because they trusted in God. They saw from afar. They walked by faith even though they could not see. These men and women found eternal life as they believed in the gospel promises, even though they had small glimpses. And they found out that Jesus Christ is the yes and the amen of all the Father's promises. So as you can see, knowing what this thing called true faith is it's extremely important. Because your eternity hangs in the balance. Do you have true faith? Do you have true faith? Have you been joined to Christ? Because only those who trust in the God-appointed substitute provided by the Father will be saved. Well, now that we've seen the necessity of faith, in our second point, we're going to look at the aspects or the parts of this true faith. What exactly is this thing that we are talking about, this thing called faith? A faith, and then our first point we saw, faith is so incredibly important. It's necessary. It's the way in which we're joined to Christ and we receive His benefits, His blessings. Well, first of all, when we look at true and saving faith, we have to remember that true and saving faith is that which is placed upon Jesus Christ and Christ alone. True and saving faith is never Christ plus anything. It's not Christ plus me. It's not Christ plus the saints or Christ plus the angels or Christ plus fill in the blank. It's in Christ and in Christ alone. These gifts, question answer 21 concludes, are given to me only because of Christ's merits. So the salvation that we have, that we receive, built upon the works of Jesus Christ, and they must, true and living faith, must trust in Christ and Christ alone. It's all His works. This is Romans 3:22. We have a righteousness of God through faith in Jesus for all who believe. So true and living faith is not some abstract idea where we just trust in something. We can't really talk about what we're trusting in. Believe with a question mark. Believe in what? Believe in whom? Believe in Jesus. That's true faith. And also believe His word. There is a content to true and living faith. Question answer 21 then gives us a definition of what is true faith. True faith is a sure knowledge. True faith knows something. There is a content. Question answer 21 says, this true faith is a sure knowledge by which I hold as true all that God has revealed in His Word. So true faith looks, reads the Bible, and says, this is true. This is not error. This is not false. This is not fable. It's true. We read this earlier in Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith we know. By faith we know something. Well, what do we have to know? We have to know what God says in His Word. Well, what does God say in His Word? Well, we confess a summary of that every single week when we say the Apostles' Creed. It's an act of faith, an act of worship. When we confess the Apostles' Creed every week, we're saying, the Bible teaches me about God the Father and my creation, God the Son and my redemption, God the Holy Spirit and my sanctification. That's what the Bible teaches. I know it, and I believe it's true. I accept what the Bible says as dependable. So true faith is not some blind leap with no reasoning. True faith is not some vague hope or wishful thinking. It is very concrete. It's built on the cornerstone. It's built on Jesus Christ, faith in Him, and it believes His Word is true. I read the Bible. This book is true. What it says here actually happened. And the promises here contained will be fulfilled. That's what true faith is. It believes something. It knows something. But true faith is more than just a knowledge. Because even the devil knows that God exists. So true faith is more than just knowing something. It is also a trusting, a wholehearted, question answer 21 says, a wholehearted trust. Hebrews 11 verse 1 puts it like this. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So true faith has a knowledge aspect, but it also has a conviction and an assurance. It's firm. It's steadfast. It's a principle that is embraced in the heart and says, this is not only true out there, this is true in here. Perhaps to illustrate what true faith is like, maybe you've heard this illustration before, but true faith is like crossing a bridge. Well, let's imagine in fall break a couple weeks from now, you're traveling with your family, and you come to a bridge. You come to this bridge, you look at this bridge, and there's a process that takes place. You may not consciously think of this process, but there's a process. You look at the bridge, and you start to ask yourselves this question, what do I know about this bridge? Does it look trustworthy? Do I know something about the person who built it? Have I seen other people walk over this bridge safely to the other side? Does it look like it has a construction material that is going to bear my weight? So I ask myself some questions about this. What do I know about this bridge? But true faith is not content to stand there at the edge of this bridge and look at this, at it spanning this chasm. True faith then leads you to walk upon this bridge, to put your full weight upon the bridge. So true faith not only knows something, true faith leads you to walk upon the one you know, to depend upon Him. True faith walks across the bridge. So true faith is made evident when you put your full weight upon Jesus Christ. So true faith not only knows something about Jesus, true faith says, I'm resting in the arms of Jesus. I'm placing myself, my hope, my life, my eternity in His capable hands. I'm a sheep. He's the shepherd. I trust Him to defend me, to protect me, to provide for me, and to bring me to my eternal home. So true faith moves from a knowledge to a trust to a dependence to a conviction to an assurance to a reliance, a wholehearted dependence. And brothers and sisters, this true faith must be personal. Question answer 21 concludes, true faith is not only a knowledge and a conviction, it's a deep-seated assurance that not only others, but that I too. Look at question answer 21. That God has freely granted not only to others, but to me also. True faith has a personal characteristic. True faith not only looks at the world around us and says, yes, Jesus is the only Savior of humanity out there. It's not just enough to judge the Bible as true. It has a personal, deep-seated, firmly rooted trust in this Savior. There is a world of difference between knowing that Jesus is the Savior and having Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior. This is very pressing by way of application. Everyone here needs to answer a few very simple questions. Do you simply know a lot about Jesus? Or do you know Jesus? Are you a Bible scholar? Or are you a Bible truster? Is Jesus someone who you simply talk about? Or is Jesus someone you talk to? Only you can answer that question, and that, frankly, is one of the things that fills the heart of your pastor with great anxiety sometimes. Do the people of the church know the right answers, or do they have those answers in their heart? I'm sure I could ask most of you here to tell me something about Jesus Christ. You'll be able to tell me, you know, where he was born, maybe what his name means, his two natures. All these things are very important. Bible knowledge. Do you know Jesus? Is he your Savior and Lord? Is he living in your heart? Is what the Bible says, oh, that's interesting, it's true. Maybe you'll go so far as to say it's historically accurate. But if this doesn't ever come to reside in your heart, it does you no good. Jesus has to be more than just someone you know stuff about. Because faith and unbelief are in a constant battle. Faith says, God is faithful. He will keep his word. He will keep his promises. Where unbelief challenges us by saying to us, look at what's going on in this world with your eyes. Trust your eyes, not your heart. Where faith, true faith, is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. So as God's people, we need to not only know God's promises, we have to trust God's promises. Yeah, I know sometimes it doesn't look like it's being carried out. It looks like this world is devolving into chaos. And maybe even in your own life. Maybe you have trials and tribulations and it doesn't seem that you are in the hands of a loving Father, that they're under the protection of the Good Shepherd. But that's when you need to preach the most to yourself. I'm not going to trust my eyes. I'm going to trust the Word. Because I know that the Savior is faithful, and He will do it. So true faith is a gift worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the preaching. It's the mark of those in whom God has taken His special care of and delight. By faith, we are joined to Christ. We receive His blessings. By faith, we will one day stand before the presence of our God. Read earlier from Hebrews, without faith, we can't please God and we can't see Him. Let's put that in the positive. By faith, we will see God. And we can please Him. Living a life of faith in this life today is pleasing to God. And our standing in His presence one day is possible because we live by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the good news. We need to walk by faith, not by sight. Trusting in Jesus, believing His Word. There is no age limit to this need for faith. Jesus Himself said, "Let the little children come to me and hinder them not." Listen to these words from Psalm 71. "I have leaned upon you from my birth." That's what faith is. It's leaning. "I have leaned upon you from my birth. Even to my old age and gray hairs, I will proclaim your might." There is no age limit to the need for faith. As our theme stated, Jesus Christ produces faith in my heart by the Spirit so that we might be joined to Him and share His blessings. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. May our faith never grow cold. May we never be lukewarm in our love. But may we have a fire within, a full, deep-seated, rooted assurance, trust, dependence in Christ, placing our faith in Him and Him alone. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word, for its pressing application, that without faith, we'll never please You and we'll never stand before You. But we thank You, Lord, for the gift of faith, that You are producing faith even now in our hearts through the preaching. May we trust in Jesus more. May we believe His Word. May we rest upon Him and depend upon His works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.